Let me tell you about something new.
It's time.
A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hope you all had a wonderful and safe and enjoyable weekend, and everyone's well. So thank you for taking the time out today during your lunch or whatever free time this may be for you. And we're getting to a subject that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, even before COVID, and that is restaurant safety. So I have like a lot of questions, and I'm going to put the number out there in case you have a lot of questions. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. So we're going to talk about restaurant safety with a gentleman who we've had on before. It's been a while. He's been very, very busy, understandably, and that's Mr. Ricardo McQueen. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm glad to have you back. Welcome back. So how have things,
good
first
to be
of all,
back.
Before we go into the business stuff, how have you been doing and your loved ones been doing at this time?
Everybody's been quite fine. Haven't had any issues, thank God.
Thank God.
You're not from the Bahamas, and they've been able to kind of maintain.
Okay, cool. So now, Ricardo is a global food safety and SQF consultant and auditor. So tell me what that entails.
So the SQF auditing system is a global food safety system. And when I say global, the entire food engine worldwide is involved in it. So if someone has a facility in China and the facility, the product that they are producing is milk, they have to come under global standards as someone that's producing the same product here in America. So it's a step above federal, because food safety basically stems from local government, state level, federal level, and then global level. So persons who want to export have their products sent all around the world to comply with SQF. And that's what I do, make sure that these facilities are in compliance so they can maintain their certification.
Okay. So like I said, I've been trying to get you for a while, even before the pandemic.
I know, right?
You're right. But, I mean, I totally understand. I'm going to ask my one question first before I get into the nitty-gritty about all of the pandemic stuff, and that is about grading restaurants. There are some places, I think Georgia is a state that grades restaurants, if I'm not certain. So, like, there are certain places where you can walk in, my understanding is, and they have to have that particular grade posted. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, you are correct. So as far as Georgia is concerned, they do provide a grade for patrons coming into the establishment that you can be able to view that grade to see exactly the standards, the level of standards that the facility is adhering to. In Florida, the Florida Restaurant Association provides training and auditing from the federal government is what they comply with. So the Department of Agriculture also play a part in it. So in Florida, what they do is, if you are working in a McDonald's, You have, I think it's like 6 months to make sure that you get the necessary certificate to become a food handler. And if you are managing a restaurant or facility, you have to take an exam that's called a food manager certification. And as far as I know, there is nothing going on in terms of creating the restaurants in Florida at this point, but I do know that Georgia does allow their facilities to be graded.
Okay. And is that grade a government regulation in terms of the state, or is that their state association in terms of the restaurants that has come up with that?
Well, see, the just like Florida Restaurant Association takes care of Florida, so Georgia has their own commissioners and different persons that are involved in that. So, yeah, so they have that. They prefer to go with that system, and that's one that they do there. But Florida just – all we do here in Florida is just basically the training.
Is the grading system effective? And I mean, because I would assume – and the reason I'm asking is because I actually would like to see a push to get something like that here in Florida, because I'm assuming that just based on the nature of how we go through our education system and we know what an A is, we know what a C is, we know what an F is. So if you walk in and you see that, you can easily kind of make a decision in terms of the caliber of restaurant that you're going to be eating at, you know, so you can make a decision in terms of whether or not you want to stay or you want to walk out the door. And so I'm assuming that most of the restaurants in Georgia are pretty much striving to get that A or B or whatever it is, because they don't want to lose customers or they don't want to be questioned about the caliber of safety that they have. Is there any, is that possible that there could be like a consumer campaign to push for something like that here in Florida?
Wow, Florida is huge. in terms of the restaurant, because restaurant is really big here. You know, granted the fact that they are going to some very strenuous times now, but
right.
The Florida Restaurant Association, it's involved in that. They are very strategic and very much involved with government and legislation. I think they lobby quite a bit to make sure that their demands are met. The whole premise with the training is that, okay, once you've gotten the training and you receive the food handler's license or the manager's license, right? It is understood that, you know, in that training, you're taught how to stay safe, how to process food, how to handle food safely. And if something even was to happen, once you follow the measures and procedures that was taught in those classes, because bacteria is everywhere. And the whole idea is that once you follow the information that you was taught in those classes, you should even be able, you should take it to what we call a safe level, because bacteria is everywhere. You have to constantly be cleaning. You have to constantly be monitoring temperatures and so forth. Because I can go into a facility and give you a score, and you would have just, you know, maybe made sure that all of your ducks were in a row for that one day when I'm coming to audit. But what happens when I leave the facility? So you get a score, so it has to be continuous monitoring, and it has to be a system where there's current checks being carried out. You know, someone got a score last year, and they're still serving for the rest of the year, and, you know, you never know what kind of happened from the time they got the score. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, the onus is on everyone involved in food safety to make sure they adhere to safe practices, because, you know, you've seen facilities that, you know, you have very good scores and then eventually they started issues. You see, a lot of what Florida does is everything is online for patrons and, you know, persons who want to know, you know, what's going on with the restaurant. They can go online, look up their restaurant. You can see what they got for, you know, during their last audit. You can look them up and see exactly what's going on, whether there's any violations. So, you know, Florida does provide that information. But this is just a whole crazy time right now. You know, I think the auditors just started inspecting inspectors just start going on, like, I think the 15th of this month, they just, recertify restaurants again, in terms of going about doing the inspections and so forth. So, you know, it's there, it's available. So folks who, you know, wherever you want to go to eat, you know, information is available, and you can go online and pull that up and see exactly what's going on with this particular establishment.
Do you all give restaurants a heads up that you're coming, or do you do surprise inspections?
Here's the thing now. As far as state and local governments are concerned, an FDA, they show up at any time. They can show up. If they get a complaint and so forth, they can show up. They have, you know, what we do in terms of a global certification is that out of every, within a 3-year period, one of those inspections is going to be a surprise where they won't know that I'm coming. And that can be anywhere from Chicago. I travel all over the world doing this. So they, out of the 3 years, one of those inspections are going to be unannounced. And I even think that's going to be changing now. I think they're getting more stringent with that. So we know the guidelines for that. Yeah. So, but as far as the restaurants, local restaurants, the Arctic can show up at any time. You cannot deny them entry once you verify who they are. So that's how the program works. So they can show up at any time.
Okay. All right. So yeah, these are questions I had before COVID. Now there's some. I've got more. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah. We are here with Ricardo McQueen. He is talking about restaurant and food safety. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Welcome back. Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking restaurant and food safety. And before we go on, I wanted to just let you know that there was something, and I think I posted on G's Power Hour Facebook page about 9 food safety tips every restaurateur must follow. And one of the things, and this is on a site called ShopKeep.com, and one of the things they did was quote the Centers for Disease Control, which says approximately 48 million Americans experience foodborne infections every year, and 3,000 deaths occur annually. And they say pregnant women and those younger than 5 and those older than 65 are the most susceptible due to weaker immune systems. So we want to talk about what you should be looking out for, because I know we're at this point where everybody kind of wants to get out the house, and everybody doesn't cook, and even for those that do, some of them, you could just get tired of your own cooking sometimes, so you want to kind of get out. So we brought back Ricardo McQueen, who's a food safety expert, and not just locally, not just nationally, but globally. To talk about what we should look out for in terms of restaurant and food safety. And so, like I said, I wanted to have you on before COVID. Now we're in this pandemic situation where things have been somewhat in flux.
you open the restaurant, you close the restaurant, you,
restaurant,
you
yeah.
have alcohol, you don't have alcohol. And I
new dynamics.
Totally, yeah, the frustration of a restaurateur, but at the same time, it's about keeping the public healthy and safe. So what types of new things have surfaced since the evolution of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, you know, one thing we know for sure to date is that there has been no transmission of COVID-19 in food. All right, so that's as far as we know. I think one of the interesting things that's been happening with COVID-19 has been doing so many different mutations and all, you know, when you hear, you know, you've been hearing so much different stories and the kid's okay, then you come back and say, no, the kid's not okay. So it's been challenging. But in terms of the food industry, there is no isolated case to date that no one was able to become infected with eating food with COVID-19 as a result of eating, consuming any food products. So that's good to know.
Right.
Because
it's mostly about you don't want to open a restaurant because of the congregation of people, the inability in some cases to social distance. It's not
social
the food so
yeah.
much per se.
So the challenge that the food industry has seen with the surges of COVID-19 is being the employees, right? So quite a lot of persons who work in these food factories. And one of the things I kind of realize with this COVID-19 is social distance is almost a privilege, right? Because not everybody have the leisure to social distance. And a lot of
right.
these workers are working in very close confinement areas. So that's been the challenge. Our concern was really the food chain. And I think, you know, you would notice that some things in the food stores now is not as available as they used to because we're having a lot of persons in these food factories that are becoming ill. And that's really a lot of the areas that I deal with the actual food factories, a lot of the manufacturing facilities. And the ones that I've been visiting of late, I've seen where they implemented stiffer measures as far as even before you walk in the door, you know, there's extra hands cleaning, there's extra sanitizing going on. So everything, you know, and that was a part of the program also since COVID-19. They had to implement certain new procedures in order for them to, you know, make sure that they maintain social distancing with the staffing on lines and making sure that there's sufficient PPE, personal protection equipment. So, you know, one of the things that COVID-19 has done in the food industry is has affected the supply chain somewhat. You know, there's been so many stories out there, folks being forced to go to work. I know you heard them, you know, about, you know, factory workers, you know, was forced
right.
to work and all kind of stuff. It's just a very, very interesting time. But that's been the issue with food, really, having to make sure that you protect the workers. And then in terms of patrons coming into the facility. So, you know, there's been an opening, particularly here in Florida, opening and closing. And you know, because, you know, we just don't know. This is a new disease that we're dealing with, and you know, a lot of the issues that we've seen as a result of it is, you know, it's just catastrophic, and for them to even think about having to open school is another issue. I had to just come off an audit in Miami, working with the schools. I had to go there and help them with their facility to try to get up to where they need to be so they can open safely. But it's a private school, of course, you know. So we're concerned about social distancing in the restaurant, be concerned about, you know, making sure the persons wear masks, and we're concerned about the workers in the food facilities, in the food factories. That's okay. been the area that's been hit the hardest as far as due to the COVID-19.
Now, when this started, did you all, as inspectors, did you all stop going into the factories and restaurants, or what happened?
I think,
and when did you start, and how did you feel?
I think for the most part, I think everything came to some kind of halt. We had to stand back, regroup, try to understand this disease a little more, until we had to implement some guidelines for the food factories, some new things for the restaurants. So I think everything, all of the restaurants and the manufacturing facilities was taken back, and everybody had to pause a little while to see, okay, how do we do this safely? And then, you know, after some time, you know, you saw procedures coming out, you saw more information about the disease, and we tried to implement more guidance in terms to the restaurant owners. But the biggest issue having to do with the food industry is monetary. Eh? The restaurants, I mean, they've just been devastated. And particularly the small mom and pop, eh? Because a lot of them,
right.
I have one particular client that I work with that almost 90% of their business used to come from the airport. And you're talking about doing over $2.7 million in revenue, and they just closed. They just trying to find their way. Because it's one thing, Gretchen, it's one thing to get these PPP loans and all these different monetary help, but once you get the funding, what do? You need the jobs. You need the clients.
Right. I mean,
you see?
They were talking about loans, and I'm like, I don't even know if I want a loan. Because a grant or a gift or something or, you know, whatever, that's different. A loan, you still have to pay that back. So on top of anything else that you've got going on, you still have to pay this loan back, and there's no guarantee that you're going to have the income anytime soon to pay people and pay the loan back and all of it.
That's what we're seeing. A lot of the facilities, the essential services are going to keep moving. Hospitals and persons who need to make sure these regulatory authorities and all these different necessities, they're going to stay moving. But there are some restaurants, you know, they get a big loan, but
right.
how are they going to pay it back if they have no one coming to the facility? And I've seen it also, you know.
Some of them didn't open. Right. Another question I have is, the restaurant isn't one of those types of places where, like retail, like you have clothing and the clothing's not going to spoil, but you have food that you have to order and you have to calculate and estimate how much you're going to order, and you have to have it a certain amount ahead of time, and you have to be able to store it. And I'm assuming that this has been a big burden too.
Yeah, and I think let's be clear, in terms of the takeout facilities, I think some of them might have seen an increase, a lot more takeout. Most of the dining facilities are having the hardest challenge, but it appears as if the grocery stores and a lot of the fast food takeout facilities, I don't have the numbers in the front of me, but it looks as if quite a number of them have gotten a surplus of,
right,
this COVID-19. There's some businesses that definitely did benefit from it, but there's some that just based on what type of facilities you have, that, they just was trashed. And I mean, their whole facility, whole business is just shut down because they just don't have folks coming in. But if you talk to some other persons, they'll tell you that the takeout was some of the takeout did pretty good. Still doing pretty good, I should say.
Right. And I'm kind of guessing that, just in my opinion, that businesses that were leaning toward takeout anyway were starting to do a little bit better anyway, because I know for me, and I'm like in my car a lot, and I like to go out and eat. I just don't have either the time or the money, because those dining restaurants are kind of pricier. But I started noticing, for example, a lot of the Starbucks who were just you know, the brick and mortar without the drive-through started
mm-hmm.
building restaurants with drive-throughs and shutting down the ones that didn't have the drive-throughs. So I was thinking there must have been something anyway that was saying that the drive-throughs were kind of working a little bit better anyway. So, like, if when this came along and if you had a drive-through, you were already kind of ahead of the game.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I passed a drive-through just on yesterday, and, I mean, the cars were wrapped around the corner. So
yeah.
Which was a Starbucks. But, yeah, so, you know, it just – This is just a different animal for us, and you know, some folks are going to survive and some are not. That's just the way it is. Some businesses are not going to come back, and then some of the smaller businesses, and you know, that's just so sad. And some folks can't diversify or you know, try and look into other areas that they may be able to kind of like, you know, change their business model. But, you know, the fact is, Gertin, some restaurants and food establishments are just not going to make it. You know, sad to say.
Yeah, and that is kind of sad, especially, you know, we were having enough problems, especially with small businesses. We were having enough of a problem just trying to make sure that they stayed afloat anyway, you know, and then this
yeah.
came along. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Ricardo McQueen. We're talking restaurant and food safety. This is D's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Ricardo McQueen, who is a food safety inspector, and he's talking to us about restaurant safety and what's going on with the not just the restaurants, but with some of the plants that supply them. And what I also wanted to ask you about, so with the change in terms of the process of inspection, is this like creating a lag in terms of the time that you can get to some of these restaurants? And is there an increase in hiring in this particular area? Do you know?
So this is there's quite a few dynamics going on. So as far as from a global perspective, if you are on the certification body, right,
mm-hmm.
they're the person that inspect that facility and they're the one that issues that license that indicate that you are up to what we call global food safety standards, correct? So
mm-hmm.
so what's happening is that as far as from a global perspective, they're now looking into setting up something that is called a blended audit. Blended audit means that I've always have to go into a facility and spend like 3 or 4 days in that facility to conduct an audit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they are going to introducing a situation where we are allowed to do some of the audit, you know, basically from home and spend maybe less days in facilities than we usually had to do. So that's remote audit is now, you know, something that and I'm pretty sure too FDA is also looking at the same issue, because if you remember, there was some meat facility that had some major COVID outbreak, and you know, if I read an article, it was public knowledge, where even the inspectors, you know, they had an issue with having to go in that facility for fear of their own, you know, personal well-being. They I think at that point they had to do a lot of those audit based on remote access. So
wow.
That's a whole new dynamics, and we're just now getting into it. There was, you know, quite a lot of training as far as from a global perspective, quite a lot of training. I spend so much time on Zoom these days. You couldn't believe it, because a lot of training and folks is thinking that, you know, the food industry would have gotten more relaxed. I think the food industry has gotten even more stringent as a result of COVID-19. Yeah, so because of the fact too that we had these outbreaks, and so, you know, we're just trying to figure out new and more dynamic ways of having to conduct these audits, without having to spend as much time in the facilities that we did. So now I had to go back into the classroom, train out how are we going to do these remote audits, and maybe possibly look at spending maybe 2 days doing remote audits, and then maybe another day in the facility, other than our regular 3 or 4 days that I would spend on facility. And I think FDA is doing the same thing. I'm pretty sure, you know, if you can look it up, I did see some indication that they are looking at remote audits. I know that they just went back to full-time auditing, I guess, as of July 15th, from what I understand. So, you know, the local government, just before the COVID, the FDA is overwhelmed. I mean, they really regulate a lot. USDA only takes care of your beef, eggs. Now they're doing catfish. And a lot of the meat, but FDA takes care of everything else. So you can imagine, just before COVID, FDA was using some of the local authorities to assist them with some of these audits, because there was just it's such a heavy amount. And and now I think, you know, staffing has been affected, the food chain has been affected. So, you know, I'm just taking one day at a time to see how are we going to make it out of this one. There's just so many missing moving parts. Economically, health standpoint, you know, it's just lightly affected. It's just so many moving parts, right? We would never imagine that we would be here today, but this was something that was pre-warned, believe me.
Man, to me, just a remote audit is just weird, you know. And I'm imagining that, I mean, a lot of things are happening to go this particular route. But I just personally am like, well, you know, is that as effective, or, you know, or that's just the way it's got to be, you know, for now,
but,
I guess, anyway.
But what you need to understand too is that facilities that manufacturing food in restaurants are now coming, just before COVID, the restaurants were going to be in a situation where they were being asked to produce more paperwork. Because as an auditor, you know, when I go into the facility, I spend almost just 2 days going over the paperwork. Because if something happened, I can trace it through that paperwork to see exactly, you know, I look over 6 months of records, you see? And restaurant, just before COVID, the restaurant was just of leg was now going to require more documentation. FDA is going to require more documentation, more records from them. Because you can do a whole lot but just reviewing records. You need to do both. Facility. Hi.
Okay. You're breaking up a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
If I don't get to facility for weeks and weeks, I can go in that facility and says, okay, let me see your last 6 months records. Bring them. You know, I want to see them. And I have to go through their those records, you know, because you're not, you know, we have to depend and rely on the quality control people and the folks who are overseeing these quality control measures, that they're prudent, that they're going to do what they're supposed to do and follow the necessary guidelines. But, you know, the auditors and inspectors can be in these facilities 24/7, even in some USD facility where the inspector pretty much has an office there. He can come in any time. You know, at some point, you know, they always have things that they have to deal with, and they have a life also, and they leave. But, you know, you have to put the policies in place, and you have to have checks and balances, and you're able to determine whether there was any deviation or any violation that occurred. And you know, only ways of finding out if something went wrong, you know. But the whole thing with COVID, you know, is that inspectors were fair for their life. They don't, you know, they're not trying to get sick themselves. So they need to be able to come over. Yeah, they get a fine.
I don't blame them.
So, yeah. So it's a new day. Different day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So let me turn now to the other thing that was becoming popular or was popular in general, and I don't know how this is working now, but the food truck. You know, food trucks are the end thing now. There are, like, food truck festivals and all that type of stuff. Do they come under the same regulations as a regular restaurant, and how are they being managed now?
Same regulations. They have to go through the same inspection. They have to apply for the same license. They have to have the individuals in those trucks that are food safety trained. And but, you know, every state has different requirements. You know, pretty much the same, but every state has different requirements. But here in Florida, food trucks, I know, is a big, big animal, but at the end of the day, they do have to follow certain guidelines. They have to have hot running water, you know. And so a lot of times individuals need to know what they need to, you know, look for when they go to these particular food trucks. Look to see if they have
right.
water running somewhere. Look to see if the licenses are posted, you know. On the truck somewhere, you know, in the area. I don't, you know, I don't do food trucks, and that's just a preference. Nothing against food trucks, but I don't know whether you remember. I'm a clean eater, so I'm in particular So you know, but certainly they do have to follow guidelines and have all the necessary. One of the challenges you have with a food truck is, you know, they got to be able to have facilities where they're able to have hot running water. So some of them have to create different unique arrangements to make sure that they have hot water. So you eat from a food truck and the hot water, then, you know, that's totally up to you. you have to be a smart consumer too, and you have to be alert yourself, and, you know, make sure And with COVID-19, I don't know how the food trucks are doing now. I just don't know. I don't know. It's just, I don't know how they're doing now.
I would have thought that they would have maybe already, because they have to be kind of self-contained in terms of being able to clean and serve and everything, that some of that would have kind of, some of these things would have already been in place. But now that you're talking to me, I'm like, you know. And then I'm sure they're suffering too, because a lot of the activities and events that would require, that would draw large crowds and stuff like that to them, they're not happening. That kind of stuff is not happening right now. So I can imagine.
I do have a client. Yeah, who has a food truck? I just remember, then I think she said it's really rather difficult. Everything shut down. She used to serve food at one of the hospitals, parking lot kind of thing.
And, right.
Yeah, and I think she did say things are really bad for her. So I do have a little insight there. Yeah. But,
Because I know where my husband works, they used to have like a food truck or something that would come out every now and then, you know, different ones for different occasions and stuff like that. And I have to say, I haven't heard him mention any of them in a while. But like I said, I'm assuming that it's not, and it's probably not only because some of these events have, you know, stopped, but also probably because of the desire for some of these people that run the truck not to get sick from the customers who may or may not wash or sanitize their hands. That's another issue too, is not necessarily what's coming from the restaurant or the eatery, but what's coming from the customers and clientele as well.
Exactly.
In terms of infections and stuff.
You have to think about people. I mean, it's not just you trying to protect yourself, but also think about individuals, particularly those who are in high-risk categories.
Right.
And that was the whole thing, was trying to get the public to understand, you know. Okay, you're good, you're healthy, you feel all right, you don't have an issue, but then think about persons around you, you know, that if they get exposed to this virus. And I think for me as a scientist, one of the interesting things, because my first thing is clinical science. So I'm the person who kind of worked with bacteria and microorganisms all for many years of my life until I went into food safety. But my thing is that, you know, when it first came out, it was a virus, but it started to show some kind of similarities to bacteria, you know. So it's kind of, this is very interesting contaminant that we're dealing with. And, you know, who's to say next month you call me to be talking about something else that as a result of COVID-19, because it's always showing some different symptoms or some different characteristics. We're trying to figure out if it's airborne. That's another issue. If it's airborne and if it's in the vent and at AC places, that's the big thing they're working on now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there is some indication that it's airborne. So the signs are there. Now, to what extent?
Wow.
You know, to what extent? So, you know, it's it was one thing I think the whole scientific world was always concerned about, you know, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how influential you are, no matter who you are, the one thing that you cannot ever feel like you're bigger than is something that you have no control over. And you have no control over this disease. It does what it does, and it doesn't care size, race, color, creed, doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. We're going to take our final break. We're here with Ricardo McQueen. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Just FYI for everybody, tomorrow is National Buffalo Soldiers Day, where we recognize the Buffalo Soldiers. I'm going to try to get somebody on, but a lot of these museums are closed, so it's kind of hard to get someone on. But we're going to work on trying to get somebody on to talk about the legacy of the Buffalo Soldiers. And then Wednesday we have Dr. Trelonda Triplett. You won't want to miss her on Wednesday on G's Power Hour. But we're going back to Mr. Ricardo McQueen, who is the expert in food, health, and safety, restaurants especially. And like you mentioned before, Ricardo, everybody is kind of responsible. It's not just the restaurants. You've got to have the consumers kind of take a role in making sure that the restaurant experience, whatever that is, when we get back to it and whenever that is a safe one. So how does consumer play a role?
Well, I think you have to shop smart. And I did mention, you know, one of the things that's really big to for consumers is there's this particular app now. I think everyone's kind of using it. It's called Yelp. And that, you can get information from Yelp because Yelp really lays it out in terms of the service and the food, mm-hmm. how you taste it. Yeah, I mean, if you just Google it, I travel a lot, so if I, you know, ever have to get something to eat and I Google a restaurant, then you will see right on that particular page all of the comments, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's just smart shopping right there. Then, if you want to know from a regulatory standpoint, like you said, if you're in Georgia, those grades posted on the glass, posted inside the facility. You also, and if you're in Florida, you can go online, look at that restaurant, you can see when it was last audited, what type of violations they had, you know. So it requires, you know, us to kind of do some work a little bit, be smart patrons, make sure I'm not going to go in the facility, have a five-course meal and end up allowing someone to make me sick. That's not going to happen. All right, mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure I do my due diligence because, I love food, I'll be very honest with you, and I like to eat a whole lot of different types of food, but I'm very cautious about what I consume and what I eat. It's your body, you only have one body, and you got to take care of it. You have to be a smart shopper. And now with COVID, I think one of the greatest impact as a consumer that we're going to have to be aware of is that we're going to have to make sure that we know the history of these facilities. We have to be able to have some information as to what's going on, how they panned out, what issues, you know. If we see a situation now where this thing becomes an issue where we has transmitted to the food, then we're in another issue. That's another serious, devastating situation. But we know it can be transmitted in the food. We know that for sure. But we know that individuals can transfer to you into facilities if they are asymptomatic or, you know, folks who have pre-existing conditions need to be careful eating out. We just got to play it by ear and be a smart consumer. Make sure, check it out, check the names out, go online, check out everything about the facility. And then I guess at this point, too, a lot of people just cook home.
Yeah.
It's healthier.
Well, yeah. I mean, but nowadays too, even cooking at home, you have to make sure, you know, worry about what you're getting at the store too, you know.
Yeah,
make sure that it's okay.
Yeah. And I think people are cooking more of late, eh? I feel like, you know, there's a lot more cooking being done home, but from the food safety standpoint, the food chain, we're watching to see if that's going to be affected. You know,
right?
We start to run out of food,
right? Or like I've been saying, you know, when you can grow your own, because it's not getting any cheaper out there.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. That's my thing. Yeah, but there is no indication that the food chain at this point, and it could be a different subject next week, but. At this point, but there's, you know, that the food chain is going to be no adverse effect to the food chain at this point. So as far as we know right now, we should be okay.
Like you say, as far as we know right now. But like I said, even though the food chain is safe, it's a lot of it is that let's say some of the sales or some of the prices that you saw before, because people are cooking so much now, the prices seem to have gone up. You know,
economic issue. Impact, yeah. So one of the things too, Gretchen, I think what I've noticed during this entire pandemic is that the false information, the amount of information that's being so inaccurate is being, it's just being crazy. That's, you know, folks, there's always going to be some place that's going to try to capitalize on a situation like this, right? So we have to. I am a science person, and I deal strictly with facts. I don't, you know, facts and what is factual. I take the time to find out, because there has been so much distorted information. I think initially folks were saying that you know, black people couldn't get it, you know. Like, it's just been so much stuff that, like, I couldn't believe it, you know. Yeah, it's been a lot of misinformation out there, and I encourage your viewers, you know, your listeners to, you know, take the time to really sensibly and thoroughly research the facts and make sure the information that you're providing the individual is as accurate and reference credible sources, you know, because that's we're in a, yeah, I keep saying it, eh? Just
right.
Very, very, very interesting times. Very interesting times.
Yeah, and you have to check and double check. You know, you can't just rely on one source for information.
You have to double check
so much. It's an overwhelming situation right now. So, you know, I'm hoping that once they find, I guess, a vaccine or whatever they're working on, that,
which is another, you know, issue. That's another show.
Uh oh.
That's another show. The vaccine.
Yeah. Well, whatever it takes to kind of get things to a point where people are, I guess, somewhat, for lack of a better word, normal. I think we're going to have to maybe retire that word out of our vocabulary. Something that's manageable.
It's a new normal. Yeah. It's a new normal. That's for sure. This is going to cause a whole lot of different changes and new procedures. Am I just even looking at the college situation? You know, everybody's moving online. Schools are going to be online, so it's a new normal. We have to adjust.
You have to be able to do that. And I forget where the saying comes from, but the saying goes: the only thing constant is change. That's kind of where we are right now, is that you're just going to have to be flexible enough to deal with whatever's coming. So, Mr. McQueen, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out, and I appreciate you going around the world and keeping us safe. You know, our food safety superhero, really appreciate that.
Wow. Thank you so much. A lot of us out there doing what we got to do, you know. Everybody plays a little part, and everybody's, you know, making it happen. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show and having a conversation with you.
Anytime.
Listeners, yeah. So just, just hit me up.
Okay. All right.
You know,
thanks a lot. Stay safe. You and your family, stay safe, please.
You too.
Okay. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day, everyone. If there's information that Ricardo has that you missed, you can save the link and listen later. Don't forget that. And also, be safe, be well, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Come on and give it on up. Yeah. clap your hands. But the best kind of praise is when you open up your mouth. Come on. You gotta say something.